Hello and welcome back to How to Cry Monster. I'm your host Neil and I'm from Jotunheimer.
I'm Jules and I'm from Elfheim.
I'm Mike and I'm in a perpetual state of hell.
So today, as you
and
may,
it's so cold.
As you may guess, we are going to be talking about Norse mythology.
Ooh.
Wait, we are?
That joke hit me and now I'm so Thor. I can't get up.
This man deserves to, I don't even know, be hung upside down from Yggdrasil for 14 days where he dies.
You mean Yggdrasil? Where I will sacrifice myself to myself?
Say that again, and I will throw this table at you if you call it whatever the hell that was.
Yggdrasil?
Yeah, Yggdrasil, you crazy person. Anyway,
that sounds like a world tree? That's the name of the other podcast.
Yeah.
Yggdrasil?
Anyway, Drazzle, Neil,
dazzle.
The Ash World Tree?
Please. Sorry. What are we talking about today?
Yes.
And what format?
Yggdrasil.
We're talking about
he's staring daggers
Norse mythology. And honestly, I feel like a lot of people, at least in the modern age, know something, at the very least, about Norse mythology because it's everywhere.
Oh, absolutely.
It is part of our daily lives.
Yeah, but
quite literally.
Very much so. But also, nobody seems to know that to all. Like, but some people do.
Mm-hmm. You know, didn't.
You may think like, oh, Thursday. That kind of sounds like that one Marvel character I heard of.
You mean Thor's Day?
Yeah, exactly. Thor's Day. Oh. And everybody knows that Thor's one defining characteristic is how wise he is.
I didn't.
Well, no, according to Norse mythology, it is. So,
I mean, that would only make sense if Tuesday was Tears Day,
which it is.
Oh shoot!
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Tuesday is named after Tyr. Wednesday is named after Odin, as it's very obvious in its name. Thursday is after Thor.
Odin's Day.
Unstay is where it comes from, and then Fridays from the goddess Freya.
Then what's Monday?
Shut up.
Or Sunday.
The moon and the sun.
Saturday?
Saturn.
Oh. Saturn.
Literally, that was the last thing there.
We love Saturn representation. We love Kronos.
Where's Saturn? But that's not... That's in a different episode. That's Greece.
Yeah.
That's Greek. So what's Saturn in Norse mythology? Do we know?
I think it literally just came from...
The planet.
But they just took Greek stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, they were like, well, we ran out of people to name weekdays, so let's just take it from another mythology.
I mean, that's what the rest of the world did.
Yeah, you're true.
They were trying their best to make sure that each day of the week had its own unique sound.
Yeah.
To it.
Exactly.
Which they did. They succeeded in that. And honestly, there's so much to unpack here with this type of mythology. There's a lot of drama, and a lot of people think that they know everything about Norse mythology just by watching Marvel, which is not the case at all.
It's not even a tip of the iceberg. It's a lot of fake facts, isn't it?
It enrages me. It makes me so angry.
The true Dane.
It makes me so angry.
Do you think... this will be my first question. On the topic of Marvel and how they convey this mythology and the Nordic culture, do you think that what they changed made it more convenient for storytelling, or do you think that the reason they changed it was because they were ignorant?
Well, I definitely think it's convenient for storytelling. For example, like the power scaling in Norse mythology is obscene. For example, like, you know, Thor, and the joke in Marvel is like, what is Thor? The god of hammers? Like, Thor got his hammer super late into his life, and it was a present to him. And the whole, like, oh, only the worthy shall wield Mjolnir. And I was like, no. What about the people who made it? There were two dwarves who were both really, really horribly egotistical and rude, and Loki steals the hammer, like, every other day in Norse mythology. And my favorite thing about the hammer...
And other people steal it.
Yeah. And my favorite thing about the hammer, which is said in numerous stories, I don't know if this one was going to be brought up, But so, for example, Mjolnir is the killer of Jotuns, being the giants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my favorite story ever is the time that I believe Loki stole the hammer and then gave it to the giants and was like, oh, hey, Thor, your hammer's gone. And he was like, oh, my God. And he was like, I think it's the giants. So Thor does the only reasonable thing, right? How would you get your hammer back?
Well, I think I know the story you're telling.
Yeah.
But I know a different side of the story. Well, I don't know, obviously. I wasn't there.
Then I'll wrap it up in like 3 words.
Here. Yeah.
Not in 3, but a little less.
Yeah.
More. So basically, he chooses the only rational course of action, which is basically, I'm going to infiltrate their society and become a bride to a giant.
Mm, yep.
And in doing so, I will then get this gift from my groom and then proceed to slaughter him at the wedding.
Believe it or not, and I can actually bring in the nomenclature etymology that I was discussing with you earlier in the car. At that point, in the poems that describe that exact thing, they describe Thor as the Nordic slur for homosexual.
Mm-hmm. They sure do.
And it was not exactly a thing for, like, it wasn't that they hated homosexuality. It was more of like they hated the personality that was attached to it.
It's just, it's funny to say, like, hey, you're a you know, nimbly bimbly pansy.
Yeah.
That's really what it was.
Yeah. And a lot of people, believe it or not, a lot of the Norse people actually disliked this story for the fact that they portrayed Thor that way because they thought it made him look weak. And which is really funny because it's like nowadays we have characters in media that get criticized for some kind of additive or some kind of change that writers may make. And obviously it can be upsetting if someone gets out of nowhere, like race swapped or gender swapped or sexuality swapped just for the sake of having it, not necessarily for it having any meaning. So I love hearing how back then they had a situation kind of like that. But of course, it was very different, but the Norse people were still very upset. Yeah.
They had a lot of different situations where there was, I mean, Loki took on multiple forms.
Oh, indeed.
And other gods took
multiple forms. Oh, they describe Loki in that sense, too.
Yeah, he was his bridesmaid. If I may go through the story.
Go.
So the story that I read and I took notes on is one night while asleep, a giant went in his house. He apparently snored heavily, according to the poems. A giant stole Thor's hammer and started making a ruckus to the point where the people in Midgard were like, oh, my God, it's thunder. It's horrible. What's going on? There's an earthquake. This is a terrible disaster. Loki comes to him and is like, hey, brother, are you good? And Thor, he goes to him because he's like, I noticed that Midgard was shaking and it seems like you're the only one that can do it in its daytime and you're not snoring. So what's going on? So Thor is like, hey, I lost my hammer. I need you to help me find it. I don't know who took it. So Loki went to help. He went to look for it. He turned into a falcon. I believe he was gifted Freya's cloak, turned into a falcon, and went to the giant's world and was looking, and went to the king of the giants, Thrym. Thrym?
I don't remember. I would need to read it.
Thrym.
I'm just going to go with
Thrym.
Yeah, just go with that.
So the giant king Thrym was working, and he noticed this falcon and saw through it and saw Loki, and they have a conversation, and Loki goes, so I'm looking for my brother's hammer. And Thrym goes, oh, that? Yeah, I stole it. I took it. I put it 8 miles under, and the only way you're going to get it back is if Freya is my bride. I want Freya as my wife. So Loki...
Let it be known, yes, by the way. Freya.
Yes,
is Freya. Constantly, like...
Begged for her hand.
Yeah. There's like a million different stories. It's almost always the Jotuns who are like, yo,
she's beautiful.
Can I get this as my bride? And it's almost always Loki who's like a bro and is like,
totally.
And then just like, we'll give him like anything else. It's so funny.
I honestly thought this was going to be the story that was related to Loki stealing the hammer and then giving it to the Jotuns.
That's why when I read that a long time ago, I was like, I kind of don't believe it. I kind of feel like this is another time that he just stole it. And it's just like, totally. What's up, brother? Like, why would he even bother?
Because when you were saying that he went to him and then turned into a falcon and got the cloak and everything, I was like, wow, he's really committing to the bit here. That's all I was thinking.
I still fully believe just the way that these stories go. He probably actually just like, yeah, I got rid of it. Yeah, I'm committing to the bit. Why? Because I got to see Thor dressed up as a bride. So, and I kind of feel like that's exactly what it
was. And you know what? You know what? If this is, and I know that the poems have different perspectives of the people that tell them. So I would like to think that because Loki is narrating this.
Loki's not narrating this.
Yeah,
this is a different narrator. And a detail I forgot to mention is when he got the cloak from, when Loki went to Freya and he said, I'm looking for Thor's hammer. She said, I can't help you, but gods will help gods. Here's my cloak. Here's to help you. That's what was presented to me in this story, in this perspective, is that he was actually looking for it. And Freya was like, I can't help you look right now. Take my cloak. It will turn you into a falcon and you can use it to travel. So he put on the cloak and all of a sudden it started shimmering down into feathers, blah, blah, blah. So Loki went back after figuring this out and him and Thor go to Freya and Thor goes, all right, sis-in-law, I need you to become a bride. I need you to put on your best gear. I want you to look the prettiest. I want you to wear the best dress. I want you to wear that necklace that the dwarves made for you of the finest golds and minerals and emeralds and gemstones. And I need you to get ready for a wedding tomorrow. And she said, no, but Thor, I think you would look the prettiest girl at the party. And you should do all that. Thor, they made a meeting of the gods, the Aesir. They bring the Aesir to have a council meeting. And Loki goes, I have an idea that was brought to me by Freya. She said this. And they all started laughing. And when they stopped laughing, Loki went, no, it's a good idea. We should do this for sure. I will be the bridesmaid. And we'll dress up and we'll make it a real thing. Let's go tell the giants. So they tell the giants and Thrym. He goes, guys, we need to set a giant feast for the giants and for this bride. Freya's my bride. We need to get this little present ready for her, the hammer, Thor's hammer, Mjolnir, and we're going to have a wedding. And so all the giants were like, yay. So a couple of the giants and Thor, who's now dressed like Freya, essentially, in all Freya's clothes, really tight. And they do mention a couple times about how this necklace is sitting on his breast. Into detail. So they go and they feast and Thor goes through like 3 barrels of mead and is eating like a pig and several like steaks. And Thrym is like, wow, she's got an appetite. And Loki's like, yeah, no, she didn't eat in anticipation or drink. And he's like, okay. And so he's like, well, the beautiful bride, I need to give her a kiss. So he lifts up her veil. And Thor is just glowering at him. And he goes, whoa. Wow.
They understated your beauty.
What kind of a bride is so angry and hairy? And Loki's like, for 8 days prior to the wedding, she didn't sleep and she didn't take care of herself. She was just so anticipating this. And he's like, okay. Maybe this will make her better. I have a present for the bride. And so he gives Thor his hammer. And Thor was like actually rejoicing at this point. He goes, great. And then he kills them all.
So this
except
is,
for Loki. Technically he does. But
this is where I want to add to the description because I love it. Where I once heard a fun story about this one. Where it's just like this is where you see a big part of what is Thor, which is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Thor is a hero. In the Norse mythology, Thor is actually very evil.
He's a murderous femboy.
This is a huge part of it, is the fact that...
Like most of them are.
This is showing the darkness that is within, you know, the lightning god, is the fact that he kills everyone here. He doesn't kill people who have inherently just wronged him. He kills them because they're giants. He kills them because of the types of people they are. He kills women and children. He kills the king. He just murders everybody in a thunderous rage, yep, because they took an object from him. And I really quickly remembered while we were talking is that during the forging of the hammer, the dwarves, I'm pretty sure, were building the hammer, and the prize that they were supposed to be given was Freya as well. Oh my God. And so they sent Loki to make it so they would mess up, mm-hmm, and up, ruin it, and then they wouldn't have to pay out. So during it, he turned into like a flipping bloat fly. You know those sick guys.
Horrible.
Terrifying little beetles that, yeah, float around. They're horrifying. And that thing was like biting the face of the dwarves as they're building it. I think it bit one of them in the eye, and it caused actually them to mess up. And what they did was they broke off part of the, it's not handle, it's like haft or something. But the reason that Mjolnir is so small or short for a hammer is because they screwed up. They actually broke the hammer. It's not supposed to be so small.
Yeah.
And that's why they ended up not getting the prize. It's because Loki actively messed with them to cheat. And you'll see this all the time. The wall that's around Asgard, it was built by a Jotun who did it all because, once again, he wanted Freya. And then once he finished building the entire thing, they just were like, no, we don't want to pay out. And then Thor killed him. The end. And remember, the Aesir are the heroes. Getting somebody to work for free when telling them that you were going to pay them and then killing them, that's the good guy. And this was also a time where Loki turned into a horse to distract the horse of the Jotun so that he couldn't get the bricks because he needed to build it underneath a specific time limit.
And then came Sleipnir.
Yes. One of
many
Loki's sons, which we can talk about in a moment, but I still wanted to say another thing about the hammer that I never see get used in Marvel, and I wish it did, was the fact that the magic within the hammer makes it so that it can grow in size and shrink.
Yep.
That's the magic of it.
Yep.
So the whole point is that he can literally jump into the sky and make it colossal, the size of a mountain, to then crush a giant. That's why it's the giant killer. It's because it's a giant weapon. That's the whole point.
Yep.
Not like, oh, this is an ultra massive weapon that only hangs out with those pure of heart. It's like Thor is incredibly evil.
Yep.
And uses this to kill innocent people all of the time. So, no.
Like, in the Record of Ragnarok interpretation of Thor and Thor's hammer, there were a couple details I think that stood out to me the most. One of which, and by the way, this is the first fight in Record of Ragnarok, so this is not really that much of a spoiler.
I'm frothing at the mouth.
But
I am too, for different reasons.
Thor's hammer, yeah, can do pretty much that. It can grow and it can shrink. Of course, in Record, it mainly just grows. But when it does change size, something interesting happens. You learn that the interior of the hammer is some kind of fleshy body horror thing that is alive. And that is why it can grow. And it splits the stones that make up the hammer. And then when it goes back to normal, it looks normal, right?
Just horrible.
But it has a personality and it can think and it is body horror. And Thor is definitely very different in this interpretation than he is in Marvel, obviously. One of course, the main design differences is his red hair. And Thor, in this storyline, has long, straight, red hair. In Marvel, he's depicted as having kind of like wavy blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't know for sure which one is supposed to be more accurate.
I don't know which one is ever described.
But here's the interesting part about him having red hair here.
It would be more likely.
It would be, because a lot of what I've seen about Vikings and Viking interpretation and design, at least in some historical things, is that there was a good portion of them that had red hair. And I think that's just so interesting, because here we have Thor in Marvel being portrayed as, oh, look at me, I am the light. I have blonde hair and blue eyes, and Loki is pale with dark black hair and green eyes. That's how you know he's evil. And I'm good because I look like an angel, right?
And he's evil.
I mean, Thor in other interpretations is intimidating.
He's evil, but like in the same way that all the gods are, because they're all selfish.
Right.
Like Loki is hilariously evil, but he saves the Aesir all the time because he doesn't really have a choice. But just so that we can keep moving on with the stuff itself, let's talk about Loki for a moment.
Ooh.
Loki is very interesting.
So, yeah, Loki's the trickster god and all this. But what he does get, one of the things he gets up to a lot is screwing around, literally.
Yep.
Ooh. And he has a lot of children, and I'll allow Jules to describe them as I name them off here. Do you know of Narfi and Vali, his two normal-looking sons?
I don't, actually.
Oh, okay. I'll tell this story because this is good. So he has two sons, Narfi and Vali, and he loves these sons a lot. They're his only normal sons. And
in what way? As in they're
Jotun? Human.
Are they Jotun or human?
They're human.
They're not. They're probably actually human. But like
human-esque.
But I'm pretty sure they're like Aesir kind of stuff.
Okay.
But the big thing is this. I assume this is during Ragnarok, so that's part of why this is so rude to Loki. But so Loki does something bad, as he does normally, and all of the Aesir say, you know what? Enough is enough. I know how we're going to deal with you. So they point at Vali, turn him into a wolf, because screw you. And then they take Narfi, and they dismember him and disembowel him, and then utilize the organs to then bind Loki up so that they can restrain him. Imagine how bad that must be, to be restrained in the guts of your last child. What a lovely time.
Where'd the wolf go?
Pretty sure it was literally just a normal wolf.
Oh, so he just went off to do wolf things?
Yeah.
Wow.
Probably killed him too. It was during Ragnarok, I'm pretty sure. Then he also had a daughter with another person named Hel, who...
Oh, the half-dead, half-alive goddess?
Yep.
Who runs Hel?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Also named Hel?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Who was he with to create Hel?
I don't know. I don't remember. I know... Yeah. Their names I don't bother with right now.
I don't even know what... It's weird to say, but what he was with to create a half-dead, half-alive?
Pretty sure Hel was with a normal-ish, god.
Just a god?
Yeah. The only really weird thing was the last one on my list here.
Okay.
Next, with with the same person who he had Hel with, he spawns Jormungandr, also known as the Midgard Serpent.
The World
also
Serpent.
Also known as the World Serpent.
Or Boros, technically.
Also known as Bane of Thor.
Oh, yeah. The thing that kills Thor.
At the very end, during Ragnarok, when they face off, Jormungandr fights Thor. And during that fight, Thor murders Jormungandr hard.
But he's poisoned.
He gets covered in so much poison that he manages to walk only, I believe it's 19 paces or 9 paces.
When he falls dead.
And just boom, right to the ground. Dead. Bane of Thor. Then he has Fenrir, which is the...
Oh, the wolf. The giant wolf that breaks all chains.
Who is only ever held down by a... nice silken scarf, I believe.
Yeah.
And Fenrir's mom is Angerboda.
Angerboda.
Mm. That's
who is a giant, I think.
Okay, that makes sense. And then that's the again, that's the same one as Hel and Jormungandr. All three of those are the same mother. And which is probably why they're all really messed up. So Fenrir, at one point when, so basically they tie up this dog who's like, yo, I'm the breaker of chains. And they said, no, you were not. You can't break those cuffs. And then they start beating this dog up and then making fun of him like every single day and doing just bad things. And one day Tyr is like, yo, dog, and smacks him or something. And the dog straight up eats his hand. And that's how Tyr lost a hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget how, but I'm pretty sure they just imprisoned Fenrir in a worse way.
They put him in one of the bad places.
I'm pretty sure they put him in like a mountain.
Was it a mountain?
I thought so.
It was a mountain in either Hel or Niflheim or...
So,
he was in one of those places, a mountain somewhere.
He was somewhere bad. But yeah, the important thing is that when Ragnarok finally happens, Fenrir is eventually escapes and kills Odin, which is kind of hilarious that two of Loki's children kill Thor and Odin, which is kind of amazing.
And fair.
And then the last Yeah, the last one is Sleipnir, the eight-legged horse.
Love Sleipnir. Odin's war horse that he forced Loki to create. He did. He forced Loki to...
It's an unintentional thing, but yeah. So basically... So when Loki turns into an animal, it's almost always a female, as far as I'm aware. And thus, he is the mother of this exchange, and he gets down and dirty with a horse, and then produces this abomination. Let it be known that on Loki's side, it was not consensual. He was not a happy boy or woman at the time.
Not a happy mare.
No, not a happy mare at all. And though that is the story of all of his children.
Lovely as it is.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah.
Neil.
Yes.
How about you add a story? Tell me a story.
A Norse story. Let me think.
As Norse as can be. More Norse than that horse.
I don't know if there's anything more Norse than that horse.
That Norse horse had eight legs, of course.
I just had a couple questions.
Yeah.
Actually.
Go for it.
So, did Loki, just so I'm understanding this, did Loki unleash Jormungandr?
Loki created the baby batter that made Jormungandr.
Right.
Jormungandr cannot be held because he's too big, and he wraps around Midgard the entire
time.
Right.
So,
do you think that? So when Loki was like tied up with his son's organs, was that before or after Ragnarok started? Technically,
I'm pretty sure it's after, and it would not surprise me if they do that literally right after Loki started Ragnarok, considering that. So this bears saying Ragnarok's
feels like a consequence to that.
Ragnarok's the end of the world. It's the time when all the gods die and all the people die and we start over. And it is said that the start of Ragnarok, according to Freya, is when Baldur dies. So she, at his infancy, went around and was like, hey, tree, promise not to kill my son, pinky promise. And they're like, yeah. And she did that to everything. I'm not even joking. And then everything just said, don't worry, won't kill your son. So Baldur becomes invincible completely. And it's a fun pastime for Thor's children to all beat the ever-loving heck out of Baldur because he can't feel it. So it's just fun. So one day Hodor, being the son of Thor, one of them, is shooting arrows. Hodor is blind, mind you, shooting arrows at Baldur, and they're having a nice jolly laugh. And Loki sneaks up, slithers, you know how he does. And he's like, hey, Hodor. And he's like, what up? And he hands him an arrow. He's like, why don't you shoot him with this? And he's just like, okay. And oh then he God. Shoots Baldur and kills him. Because it turns out, when Freya was going around talking to all the plants and animals and all that and getting them to Pinky Promise, there was one plant she missed, or either or that or they were just like, nah. And it was the mistletoe.
Oh, my God.
The mistletoe decided, no, I don't want to be in on this deal, or just never was in the loop. So Loki makes Hodor kill Baldur, which then starts the end of the world. Okay. Where everybody dies. Everyone. Not a single person is exempt. Everybody's dead.
Does he do this on purpose?
Yes. He knew.
Okay.
He thought it would be funny.
That sounds like a Loki prank.
Yeah,
that's Loki pretty funny.
Remember, this is why I'm like, Loki probably stole the hammer at that wedding time as well, because Loki's pranks end in so much bloodshed, it's hilarious. It's like, oh, I got a king and like all of his disciples killed this morning. Huh, what a day. And that's like half of the stories.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as anything I know about Norse mythology, like, we already pretty much covered most of the things I know about it. My knowledge is only goes so far, and I only really know more interpretations of how things are in the media about it, because I know there's a movie called Ragnarok that is about these explorers, I think, finding Jormungandr on Earth. And it's like chilling in a cave. And
that's what? That's awesome. I want to see that.
I think it is one of those bad sci-fi movies, though.
That sounds great. What are you talking about? That sounds amazing. That's exactly what I wanted. But most importantly, let us get through a couple more things, because we actually have a short time limit.
Yeah.
Which is up as of now, but we will continue.
Right.
Because we really, really wanted to get the food. That's fair. All right. So, those are the general, like, fun little myths. There's a whole host of them, which everybody should do their best to look up. Trying to stay away from your Marvel pages and all that, because they're wrong.
And we might go over a bunch more in the part two.
Oh, we should do a part two. That'd be lovely. It's just a shame that we don't have the perfect amount of time to do it now, because everybody knows that these nine worlds that are connected to Yggdrasil, or Yggdrizzle, as you say.
Or Edgersel.
Yo, drizzle. Yeah.
Yggdrasil.
So, when you're drizzling yourself.
When you're mucking.
Anyway, so Yggdrasil is connected to a bunch of different realms, which of which, like, three are actually named, and then the rest were just named by scholars later, because
as most religions work,
kind of,
yeah.
And they're just like, oh, you know, Vanaheim. Why? It's the name of it's where the Vanir live.
So, what are the three that are named?
I'm pretty sure it's Asgard, Midgard, and Niflheim.
Midgard?
I said Midgard.
Oh, I misheard. Le Midgard.
Le Midgard. So we got Asgard, Midgard, and Niflheim. I'm pretty sure those are the three that are actually said. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure Jotunheim isn't said. I think it's just the land of the Jotun is said.
Yeah.
Which translates to Jotunheim, but that doesn't mean that's the name of the place.
It's implied.
Because there's multiple, isn't there?
Yeah, because, again, we got Daneland, you know, land of the Danes. We got Freedomland. Land of Freedom, also known as America, also known as the U.S., the only important part of America. I don't know.
That's
sadly
true. Not all of it.
What?
We'll talk about that later.
What does anyway, that mean?
So, but like not even Muspelheim or Niflheim, the two that are the creators of the rest?
I don't kind of even think that they are. I think they might literally just be called Land of Fire. Before there was anything, there was a Land of Fire.
And the Land of Ice. And then they met, and they created Ymir, and then he died because another guy was licked into being by a primordial cow, which is true. licked out of the ice by a primordial cow.
That is true.
Which then created Odin Vile? 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 V-I-L-L-E? R-I?
Muden.
And then V-E.
Mm-hmm. Mudenheim.
Mudenheim. And then
Moon.
V-E. Yeah. Vili.
Vili? Come on, let's go.
Sorry. Odin, Vili, and V killed Ymir and then used his remains to create the rest of the lands.
Indeed, they sure did. And that is the land you stand on today, ladies and gentlemen.
Midgard.
Midgard. And also, I think maybe all the other realms, but yeah.
Yeah.
With just the spare parts, you know, we got like a toenail. Boom, that's Vanaheim. We got like all the good parts. That becomes Asgard. And then we have everything that's left, I don't know, like Sinu. And basically, that's just, I don't know, Jotunheim.
Alfheim is the hands. Svartalheim is the crotch.
Svartalheim is the farts.
That's fair.
Very true.
Vanaheim is the hair.
Now that we're done airing the dairy air about some of these mythological myths, perhaps we should continue next time on part two.
Indeed. Thank you for joining us today on How to Cry Monster. As usual, I am Neil from Jotunheim.
Jules from Alfheim.
And Mike from Hell.
And, the cold one.
And have a wonderful time, and don't use mistletoe to shoot Baldur. Whatever you do.
And don't steal Mjolnir.
And don't turn into a mare assuming that everything's going to go well.
It won't. Or a salmon. Or a snake. Or anything, really.
Basically, don't change.
Turn yourself.
Don't change.
Ever.
Don't change. You're perfect just the way you are.
Yeah. Indeed.